The big question, is there anything that can stop the unemployment lines from getting longer?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good day to you from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. News from the Labor Department today. First-time unemployment claims rose last week by 13,000 to top 462,000. But the number of jobless workers continuing to collect benefits fell last week. Lance Pan is Director of Investment Research at Capital Advisors Group. He's with us live from Boston. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve.
So for a while there, it looked like things were improving in the labor market. And then today's report shows this unexpected increase. What's going on?
Well, as a matter of fact, the market was expecting some of the numbers to get turn worse, but this is actually worse than the market had expected. We have really looked for the more evidence that the economy will weaken further, so that Federal Reserve may act another round of quantitative easing, basically, is to pump more money into the economy. Because
pumping money, you're talking about buying assets, right?
Buying treasuries and perhaps some other assets really is to provide more liquidity into the system, because unemployment is one of the Achilles heels of this economic recovery, the other one being the housing market, obviously. So it's been going on for a while.
Is that what they're just going to be guided by? I mean, because I know there's not a full unemployment report that comes when the Federal Reserve meets, right? They're meeting at the beginning of next month, right after the election.
That's correct. The Fed would have a whole host of sources at its disposal, but housing data and the jobless claims data would be something that they'll be paying more attention on.
All right. Lance Pan joining us from Boston. Thank you for your analysis, sir.
All right.
OPEC oil ministers are meeting today in Vienna to set production targets for the winter. The oil cartel controls 40% of the world's supply. Ministers know their commodity is vital to any economic recovery, so they're not expected to tinker with it much. But they will look closely at another idea that's likely to make them more money. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
The global price of oil is set in U.S. dollars. But when the dollar's value is low, as it is now, oil producers have to jack up their prices to earn the same profit. When the dollar fell dramatically 2 years ago, the spike in oil prices made more costly alternative fuels more competitive, says oil analyst Stephen Schork.
So not only was OPEC not receiving the full bang for its buck, but they were also seeing the potential for their market share erode.
So OPEC ministers are resurrecting an old idea, tying oil to a basket of currencies, including the euro, instead. Houston oil industry consultant Larry Carl says the dollar is losing its dominance.
When we look at the way the rest of the economies around the globe are recovering and we're falling behind, we have to start to get used to the fact that, you know, we're not going to lead right here, right now.
But if OPEC switched to this system, Carl says gasoline prices in the U.S. would be more susceptible to currency fluctuations overseas. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
The dollar did fall to a 15-year low against the Japanese yen today. That comes from continued speculation about the Fed trying to spark the economy, what we talked about just a moment ago. That notion is bad for the dollar, but it has global stocks on the rise. Asian shares were higher today. European stocks mostly higher at the moment. Wall Street yesterday, markets continued their upswing. The Dow tacked on 75 points to close at 11,096. It could be a deal in the works to buy internet search giant Yahoo. Several news wires reporting this morning some big private equity firms have approached News Corp and AOL to feel out whether either of those firms would be interested in a deal. Now, Yahoo's been struggling to make money in the shadow of its biggest competitor, Google.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. By the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information available at newsstands every Saturday. And by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
President Obama is going to participate in a youth town hall meeting today on the MTV and BET cable networks. The president's going to take questions from audience members and viewers, all young people. That's a demographic hit hard by the sour economy, a lot of whom are doubtful anyone will help. Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer.
President Obama last appeared on MTV in 2007 when he was still just Senator Obama.
Senator, our next question comes from a new website that we are partnering with that allows.
Things have changed a lot over the past 3 years. The theme for young people now isn't rock the vote, it's skip the vote. Some say it doesn't matter who's in charge in Washington. That's how 21-year-old Ethan Noer feels. He voted for Obama in 2008, but he won't head to the polls next month. He's had it with politicians.
They'd rather just get into a pissing match instead of actually trying to fix issues for the American people.
Issues like the unemployment rate for 16 to 24-year-olds, which is over 19%. Noer couldn't get a summer job this year. Now he's in his junior year at the University of Wisconsin. David Polk is a sociologist at York College. He has a lot of students like Noer.
It's almost shades of the 60s, where people tried the political process initially and then got disillusioned, found it did not work, and became a bit more radical. The difference I'm seeing is I don't see any kind of radicalization. It's almost apathy.
24-year-old Sarah Molnar isn't necessarily apathetic. She graduated last year from the University of Oregon. Now she's working as a receptionist. She hasn't lost total faith in government, but she's not asking politicians for much.
My roommate's on food stamps, and so that's the best way I feel like a politician would be able to help me out, is making sure that if I need to get on food stamps, that I'll be able to get on food stamps so I can eat.
In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, a neighborhood in Singapore was in a frenzy yesterday after a video of a bear going through a garbage can was sent to a social media site. The sender said the creature charged at his car. He had to drive off fast. A close shave, he called it. Zoo officials and animal rights workers were sent out with tranquilizer guns. Police were called, too. Turns out it was all a sham. Electronics company Philips videotaped some guy in a bear suit to market their new electric shaver. And because of the frenzy the stunt caused, the company could be fined by the Singapore government $750. That's way less, though, than the price of one 30-second commercial. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Economic indicators are practically household words nowadays, right? We all know gross domestic product. But for some enterprising economists, they're just mainstream noise.
You know, kind of the Justin Bieber, Lady Gaga on the radio all the time.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Alternative indexes on our series Economy 4.0. That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.